This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, here it is, New Year's Day. And what do people usually do the beginning of the new year? Well, sadly, there are some people who this morning are nursing a hangover. But that's not what I'm talking about. The question is, what do most people usually do the very beginning of the new year? Well, let me answer that question, first of all, by asking a question. Raise your hand if you made some sort of New Year's resolution. A few of you, okay. Well, I did too. But if you're like me, you start out with really, really good intentions, and then it doesn't take too long, and you're not exactly following through. Am I right? In fact, one of the more common New Year's resolutions is to lose weight. And all you have to do is watch TV right around Christmas time or New Year's, and the commercials for weight loss programs are in abundance. But if you're like me, despite our best efforts, we often fail at that type of New Year's resolution. Of course, there's lots of other New Year's resolutions that we make, but we often fail at those as well. The truth is, despite our best intentions, we simply don't live the kind of perfect life we want to live. We're sinners. We fall short of God's loving plan for our lives. In fact, the sad truth is that even though this is a new year, I'm afraid we're going to look forward to the same old things during this new year. You see, a lot of people enter the new year with renewed hope, with the desire and intention of things being different. But it doesn't take long for us to realize that this world doesn't seem to change. The bad things that happened before happen again, despite our best efforts. So in this coming year, we can expect sin. We can expect people breaking all Ten Commandments once again. We can expect bad news. We hear it from TV. We hear it from the radio. We hear it on the internet. We hear it from one another. There will be murder. There will be theft. There will be adultery and other sexual sin. There will be gossip. There will be greed. There will be trials and hardships around the world. Catastrophes of all kinds. Who knows what the new year will bring? But one thing we do know, it will bring more of the same old thing. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we won't have good things in the new year. Our God is merciful, and He constantly gives us many blessings that we don't deserve. So we can look forward to God's mercy in the new year. We certainly can. But the reality is, Jesus Himself said, in this world you will have trouble. So even though we know we will have God's mercy in the coming year, we also know that we will have to look forward to the same old things. And those same old things are the difficulties and disasters and distresses that we face in this fallen world. Now, after depressing you with that news, the question is, what hope do we have when we face the same old things in this new year? Well, the good news I have for you is that we have certain hope as people who believe in Jesus. First of all, there's something that we have right now, and we don't have to wait for it, not one second. What we have right now is a new creation in Jesus. Now, I'm not referring to the creation itself being renewed. That will happen in the future, and I'll talk about that in a bit. When I say new creation, I'm meaning the new creation that Christ has worked in us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, if anybody is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. As Christians who have been baptized by God Himself, as Christians who have been given a new heart and a new mind by the Holy Spirit, as people who trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you are a new creation. That old sinful nature, that no longer identifies you. Oh, you still have a sinful nature, but that's not the way God sees you. When He looks at you in Christ, He sees a new creation. A perfect human being who loves Him and trusts Him. That's right, God has given you a new heart. That new creation within you loves God above all things. That new creation within you wants to serve Him. Now, of course, we continue to struggle with our old sinful nature, but one day it will cease to exist, and it will no longer identify us in any way, shape, or form, just as it does not identify us now from God's point of view. Even though we still see the sin in our life, God no longer sees it. He sees the new creation He has made us to be in Christ. And so that is something we have right now. As you enter the new year through faith in Jesus, you enter the new year as a new creation, sinless, holy, and innocent in God's sight. But there's more good news. As we enter the new year, not only do we have the good news that we are now new creations, but we also enter the new year realizing that one day this world of suffering and sorrow will end. In fact, at the end of the creeds, we remind ourselves of this hope. I'd like you to open up your hymnal to the very, very back where you just used the inside back cover to read the Apostles' Creed. At the very, very end of the second part of the creed, it talks about Jesus returning to judge the living and the dead. Now, in a little bit, I'll explain to you why you don't have to worry about that. In fact, you can look forward to it. I'll deal with that in a bit. But what I want you to look at is the very end of the creed, the third section. It says that, first of all, now, right now, we have the forgiveness of sins. That's what I mean when I say that you're a new creation. But look what we have to look forward to. The resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We have a wonderful destiny to look forward to, my Christian friends. One day our bodies will be raised. And they will not be these present bodies that are filled with sin, suffering, and dying. No, they will be new, glorified, sinless bodies that will live forever. And where will we live forever? In the new creation that God will give us on that day. In fact, look at the very end of the Nicene Creed. At the very end, it talks about how we acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. That's the new creation we have right now. But then it says, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. That's right, my friends. There is a new world that is coming. And when will we get that? We will get that when Christ returns to judge the living and the dead. Now, having said that, what have some people attempted to do recently? Well, let me give you a couple examples. Not that long ago, this past spring, we were supposed to experience the end of the world, remember? Harold Camping predicted that the world would end back in May. Of course, it didn't work out that way. Then he changed his figures and said, okay, I was a little bit off there. It'll happen this fall. But as you know, it didn't happen. He tried to predict the end of the world, and he forgot what Jesus himself said, that no one knows the day or the hour. Let me give you another example. We'll be experiencing all this hysteria around December of 2012. Why? Because that's when, according to some people who are focused on the Mayan calendar, that's when supposedly the world is going to end. December of 2012. Well, once again, they're wrong, because Jesus himself says, no one knows the day or the hour. Now, the world may end in December of 2012. It may end after lunch today, for all we know. The point is, when it does end, it's going to take everybody by surprise. The Bible is clear about that. No one knows the day or the hour. Why do people even try to predict the end of the world? Well, some people have this idea that if they know when God is going to come, then they can make sure they're ready and worthy for His reappearing. But guess what? There's nothing that we can do ourselves to make ourselves ready for Christ's appearing. Instead, God is the one who makes you ready for His appearing. And the way He does that is by giving you a repentant heart and by bringing you to faith in His Son, Jesus. So you know what that means? As new creations in Christ, you're already prepared for the second coming of Christ. As Christians who acknowledge their sins and trust in Jesus for forgiveness, you're prepared. Not only do you not have to not fear the second coming of Christ, but you can actually look forward to it. You can look forward to His return because you know where you stand with God right now. You are forgiven. You are holy in His sight. And on the final day, God will simply make public to everyone where you stand with Him right now. Of course, there's another reason why it's foolish to try to predict the end of the world. The reason it's foolish is that we all have to stand before God at the moment of our own death. And we don't know when that's going to happen either. And so all this frenzy trying to predict the end of the world forgets that we have to all stand before God the moment our life here ends. But once again, as Christians, we don't have to fear the day we die. We don't have to fear it at all. Why? Because through Jesus, you're already prepared to meet the Lord. In fact, today you're going to meet the Lord physically, in person, when He gives you His body and blood in this holy meal. Today, heaven comes down to earth, and you come before the altar of the Lord and receive His body and blood in your mouth. But you receive that to your blessing because right now, through Jesus, you are holy and innocent in God's sight. And so when you do die, whenever that day may be, you don't have to fear because you are already right with God through faith in Jesus. When you die, your spirit will go to be with Christ and you will be looking forward to what? The resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. My friends, we can really look forward to that. Because on the final day, it will be a new year's day that will never end. And on that final day, we will finally enter a new year, in fact, a new eternity, where there will be no more suffering, pain, or death. The scriptures talk about this. One day, we will be in a world where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. I want you to try to imagine this, although we'll never fully be able to comprehend it. Imagine the best day you've ever experienced in this world, where everything seemed most right. My friends, that day will pale in comparison to what life will be like in the new creation. Because even our best day in this world is still soiled by sin. But it won't be that way in the new creation. In the new creation, evil will finally be done away with. There will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more evil, no more sin, no more death. We will finally be living in the paradise for all eternity that God intended us to enjoy in the beginning. That is what we have to look forward to. I think sometimes as Christians we make the mistake of getting so focused on this world that we forget our real destiny. You see, this world is not our real home. Even though God gives us many comforts and pleasures and blessings, this world is not our real home. Because this world is a broken world. a world broken by our sin, a world where bad things happen, if not to us, then to somebody else. But it won't be that way in the new creation. In the new creation, we will finally be living in the paradise that God intended us to have in the beginning. Now, with that understood, if we're looking forward to the new creation, what does that mean for our lives here and now? You know, on the one hand, we should not be so focused on this life that we forget about our destiny. And yet, on the other hand, we should not be so focused on our future destiny that we forget about our life here. You see, as long as we're here, God does have a purpose for us. Yes, we can look forward to our eternal destiny in the new creation, but as long as we're here, God has a plan for our lives. So as we're looking forward to our future hope, how are we supposed to live here and now? Well, Peter answers that in our first reading. Take a look in your bulletin. 1 Peter chapter 3, the end of verse 11, it says, "You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." So as we look forward to that day when our bodies will be raised from the dead, as we look forward to that day when we will live in the new heaven and the new earth, the home of righteousness, as we look forward to that day, we are to live holy and godly lives here and now. In other words, since we will be living as God's dearly loved children for all eternity, we strive to live that way here and now. Not in order to earn our salvation, because we already have it. Not in order to make God love us, because He already loves us. No, the reason we strive to live holy and godly lives is that we're new creations. We're striving to live as who we already are in Christ. That's why we constantly fight against our sinful nature, because we realize that's not who we are. Instead, we are God's children. And so we strive to live accordingly. You see, that's why we come to church. We don't come to church because we have to, as though this is one more way we try to earn God's mercy. That's not why we come to church. We come to church because we get to. It's a privilege. This is the place where we are reminded who we are and whose we are. This is the place where we hear God's word and receive Christ's body and blood so that we might be strengthened in our faith and remember that we're new creations and thereby equipped and empowered to live holy and godly lives in this world. And by living a holy and godly life, I don't mean that we live as holier than thou Pharisees. Instead, by living a holy and godly life, I mean a life of humble repentance and faith. Living every day, acknowledging our sins, and rejoicing in the fact that through Jesus we are new creations. And when people do notice that we're different, when people do notice that we're focused on Christ, then rather than taking the credit for ourselves, we simply point them to the Lord, who wants all people to be saved and to come to repentance. In fact, as we look forward to that day of God, Peter says we actually speed its coming. How so? Well, as Christians, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Lord, thy kingdom come." We're looking forward to that day when God will finally return in person, in the flesh. And we pray, "May you come, Lord. We're tired of this world. May you come." And one day, He will answer that prayer. One day, He will no longer be able to resist the prayers of His children, and He will return. But for now, He is waiting. For the last 2,000 years, Christians have been praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come." Why hasn't God answered that prayer yet? Well, We get the answer in our first reading. It says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So here we are, the first day of 2012. We're still praying, "Thy kingdom come," and we don't know when the Lord is going to answer that prayer. Why is He waiting so long? Because every day He holds off is another day that someone else gets to hear the word of Jesus and become a new creation. There are still people out there, even right here in Jamestown, who are not ready for the day of judgment because they do not trust in Christ. So why has God allowed you to be here? Why is God bringing you into this new year? So that you can be a witness for Him in this world. God will hold off if it means just one more person being saved. That's the kind of gracious God we have. So my friends, as we enter this new year, remember the good news for the new year. First, you're a new creation in Christ. You are forgiven and holy in God's sight. He loves you dearly. And secondly, you have a future destiny that you can look forward to with absolute certainty. The resurrection of the body and eternal life in a new creation, walking in God's love forever. Until we experience that future hope, remember what Peter said, "For this present age, you ought to live holy and godly lives." Live for Jesus and share His love with others so that more people may become new creations. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.